Hello from Madrid. My name is Paul Miller and I'm going to be moderating a conversation of a number of people gathered here at HP's Technology at Work Roadshow. I'm just going to quickly go around the table and get people to introduce themselves so that you can associate names with voices. And going to the left, Martin.
Hello, I'm Martin McLeod from BladeWatch.com. It's a blog about blades.
And next to him, just to confuse everyone, another Martin.
Okay, so my name is Martin Riley. I am the program manager for the Technology at Work program. And when I'm not doing that, I'm responsible for Blade and Converged Infrastructure Marketing.
Great, thank you.
My name's Ian Stephen. I run Enterprise Storage Servers and Networking for the UK and Ireland. So I'm one of the countries that's bringing customers to the event.
Great.
Hi, I'm Becca Taylor. I'm the Enterprise Business Social Media Manager, and I put together programs like this one.
Hi, hello, I'm Massimiliano Galeazzi, and I'm working in Valsav as a social part of marketing social media lead, and I'm actually involved in the Italian version for Converged Infrastructure blog and community.
Right, I'm Patrick Husband from OSNN.
Short and sweet.
Yeah. I'm Hans Redevoort. I work for an HP partner, but I'm here for my social media activities. We have a blog which is devoted to Microsoft virtualization and on the road to the cloud. So all topics around that, blades, server storage, management, well, that's what I'm interested in.
Great. So, Martin, you've been putting this event together. It's one of several.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why? Okay. So, fundamentally, we're taking out onto the road the cloud, converged infrastructure, everything that goes around those two things out onto the road. We've run big central events for 8 years, starting with ENSA many years ago. And over the years, we've morphed that program into the Technology at Work program, big central event. We're in another transition phase, so we're going to go to a new big central event called HP Discover, which will be the entire showcase for HP products and solutions. And the purpose of this event program was to get closer to the customers, go out on the road, do it in French, do it in German, do it in English. And we'll touch probably around about 2,000 people over the five events we'll run over this 5 month period. So it's really to take out on the road the converged infrastructure message.
And who's this aimed at predominantly? Is it existing HP customers that you want to buy more stuff, or is it new customers?
Anybody, to be quite frank with you. Ideally, we'd be taking it out to new customers, but I think it's really important to get to our existing customers. Most of our customers have got data centres, data centre technology, which is anywhere between 5 and 15 years old. And there are some huge advantages to be achieved through the new technologies, new approaches to delivery. And really, you know, existing customers, new customers, we're out there evangelising what we can do for those customers.
Okay. And Ian, I mean, for someone coming to this event or to one of the others, what's the big news from HP?
It's not really big news, because I think most of the launches have taken place in the previous couple of months with the cloud system announcements and other things. For our customers, really, it's the opportunity to come and talk to people about it. And it's also a confirmation of the proof points. So I can go and talk to them locally about it, which is great, and tell them how wonderful everything is. But actually, 9 times out of 10, they want to talk to somebody else, and they want to see it again, just so it's consistent and they know that it's real. And so I think part of the reason that people want to come to these events and wanted to come to the old events was actually to talk to the people on the stands, talk to the experts, see the technology, touch the technology, because it makes them comfortable. So that, you know, that's kind of why people come.
Okay, great, thank you. Now, it's a two-day event. We've been here for one day so far. Turning to those of us on this side of the table, what have been the highlights?
The highlight for me?
Yes.
Mark Bain's keynote was concise and clear about the strategy, so I liked it. I blogged about that one, actually. I went to one of the surface sessions. Being a technical guy, that was a little bit too high level for me. So hopefully tomorrow the technical sessions will be more for me.
Okay. Martin?
Particular interest to me was talking about the cloud solutions and also learning more about the 3PAR and how that could be used, whether in a cloud solution or something else. And it's just a great opportunity to speak to people either below the radar and to say, hi, how does this work? How are we using this scenario? As well as get the presentations, the official statements about this is what we're doing, this is where we're going. That can be just as invaluable as the presentation.
Okay. What about the sort of customers that are in the room? Is that of value as well? You know, to say, how does it work for you?
That's always good, but that requires a degree of confidence and looking at people. And, you know, as a geek, we have to be careful not to overstep the mark.
Anyone else?
I've come from a company that's quite far behind in terms of what they're rolling out. It's good to see, all the newest toys there running. So, you know, how far this company can go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
so, I have a question. Let's say we have quite a few customers with HP storage, HP Blaze system, ever since 2007. So what can they do to move that in that converged infrastructure in the Blade system matrix? Is there a way of converting that to the old servers to the new ones, or do they have to buy new stuff?
Ian, do you want to take that one?
There's a process of getting to the new stuff. It's whether it's worthwhile going through the process or it's better to buy the new stuff just because it's newer and better and cheaper.
It tends to be cheaper just to replace it, both in terms of energy efficiency and in running costs. Because if you ask to get an older server supported, it can be done, but there's a cost. It
depends on how old you are. So if they have the G6, that would be okay? Or?
It's always difficult to put a finger in the air. It does depend on...
I would say older, actually. I would say if it's older than G6, it's probably maybe. Mm-hmm. If it's G6 or newer, it might be worth going through a process of bringing it up to say a matrix or something.
Yeah.
If it's older, it's probably more realistic to swap it.
And how old would that be? You know, is this 2 years, 3 years, 5 years?
Generations on Alliance and Blades is probably a year. So every generation is probably a year. When you get a couple of years further out, it was probably 18 months. Mm. So I met a customer upstairs who's still got what he would call generation one Alliance, still running them in his data centre, still happy with them. Those are probably when we change the names.
Everyone's at a different space in their IT life cycle. So some people will be replace it every 3 years and it will work perfectly for them. Others will be run it till it dies. And both models work. It's just how they work for you in terms of your budgets and in terms of support. We can support a 12-year-old server, but it's a cost of doing that in terms of reliability and performance won't be brilliant on our older system.
So we've been through a recession. We've also seen the rise of sort of new buzz terms like cloud. Some of it's real, some of it's buzz. There's a balance to strike between the two. From your perspective, are people spending again? You know, is there a renaissance in orders, or is it sort of steady?
That's difficult because we're in the quiet period as we've just finished our fiscal quarter.
Yeah.
So without going into numbers, if you look at the UK and Ireland, because that's my territory, you've got two economies under fairly severe stress. Irish economy under even more stress than the UK economy. This week came to market to say they needed to borrow another €24 billion to keep the banks afloat. So the Irish economy is going down very quickly. So obviously their demand is very light. In the UK, we've just gone through government year-end. And as we've gone through a government transition, then actually government year-end was reasonable, because government departments tend to buy in cycle. So is it good? It's not great. Is it better than it was? It feels better than it was. Is it incredibly fragile? I think it's incredibly fragile. That would be my sort of position on it.
And in terms of the people who are upstairs who are walking the floor, what are their big concerns, but their big demands?
The ones that are here for us, you know, like Martin mentioned it, you know, most of our customers have legacy environments, ours and other people's, and they're here to figure out what to do with it. So they're trying to work out, you know, do they go matrix, do they go C-class blades, do they go three-part storage, do they consolidate two storage vendors into one? Most of them are still in a very heavy consolidation phase. So they're looking at how do they get rid of the generation one servers and get onto G6 and G7, reduce the footprint, save money. So that's the sort of thing that the bulk of the UK, Ireland customers are here looking at. They're still very much in that consolidation phase.
But I think the other thing is that, you know, you mentioned the buzz around cloud.
Mm.
I think everybody's trying to get their head around what cloud means to them. So, you know, we use this term private cloud. So a lot of people just naturally assume cloud is public services from people like Amazon. One of the real things that can help customers with the economics, you know, number one is just, you know, the pure power consumption of the latest technologies. But the other one is the automation. Get rid of risk, get rid of, you know, people processes, and then get people to focus on how they can, evolve their businesses. So I think for me, you know, the thing that we're trying to do here for people is to show them the economics of cloud, not the marketing nonsense of cloud. So cloud can make a big difference to your operation as a private, not necessarily everything going out to outsource services. And, you know, I think what was demonstrated on the booths, what was demonstrated in Alphonse's presentation this morning, is this bridging together of environments. And we think that's the way forward. And I think, you know, when we speak to most customers, they're looking at that thinking, oh, that's a different aspect, that's a different way of doing things. So we're showing people different ways and how they can, you know, address the, you know, the economics that Ian was talking about there. And, you know, I spent a lot of time across Europe. It's the same message, whether I was in Romania last week, Croatia 3 weeks earlier, you know, Paris. It's the same, you know, dialogue which is going on across Europe.
When the word cloud had not been invented yet, you were talking about the adaptive enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these same data centers, the same automation, same operating systems and hypervisors. So what has changed between that definition of the data center and the cloud as we've come to know it?
Mm-hmm.
What has changed from the adaptive enterprise to the instant on?
I don't think anything's changed. I think it's just that it's both. I want an adaptive enterprise, and whether that means I buy in the service from someone, or I have my own internal cloud for email or storage, or as an application web platform. But what I want to avoid is the pain points that I currently have as a customer. So I turn around and say I want to deploy a new Citrix application or a new platform for Business Line 3, and I'm told the lead time is 17 years. Providing my name isn't Kevin, and they've signed the purchase agreement. I want to just get it done, and I think the enterprise is realising that if they don't change the way IT works, then that's going to start costing them money. And you need to reduce the operating costs and be more efficient with the money you're spending. So it's better to spend a little bit of money upgrading from G6 to G7 or G1 to G7 and save the support cost than continue keeping the lights on and spending all the budgets that way. And through that, you use a mixture of cloud and in-house solutions, whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the adaptive enterprise was really trying to get people to think about the importance of IT to the business of what they were doing. And I think the only thing that's changed is how people look at delivery of that technology now.
Automation.
Well, no, so even the automation technology was there,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but when the adaptive enterprise and converged infrastructure started as the strategy for HP, it was trying to educate people that IT was becoming the fundamental part of their business. So without IT, a lot of companies that we deal with don't have business. So what's changed now is actually there are different ways to source that technology. Some are sourcing it from an external provider, some are doing it internally. A lot of the technology is still very similar.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of linking business and IT is exactly the same. How people acquire it has actually changed quite dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that's the economics. So I think that's probably the big change between, say, technology at work 2 years ago
yeah.
when we launched Blade System Matrix, and it was all about automation orchestration. The assumption was that everybody would do that themselves. Now, actually, probably, what did they say this morning? 20% of customers in 2012 won't own any IT resources. They'll get it from somebody else.
I don't think there was this concept of the hybrid delivery, you know, just building what Ian is saying there. The fact that you could take a service from a, you know, Amazon EC2 type service and then bridge that with somebody that's delivering an SAP type service, and then your own, if you like, mission critical private services, take that and deliver it as a single menu to your business users. So the aggregation of those services together, whether it be public, private, or whatever.
Is that something you have to offer, the combination of the two?
Absolutely. Yeah. So that aggregation layer is what I see as the new bit, is the ability to bridge these things together. So I, as a CIO, can deliver a menu-based service, and it really doesn't matter where you source it from, internal, external, whatever. It's a service to my clients. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, I address your issue of, it's not going to take 17 years and my name's Kevin. You know, this is just a way of breaking through that delivery barrier that we've had for a long time.
Thanks.
I mean, part of the promise, I think, for converged infrastructure, which is one of the things you talked about, is when you're pulling all the pieces together from an HP menu, then it really flies. Not all data centres are like that. One of the things I think that you touched on this morning is that it doesn't all have to come off the HP menu.
Mm-hmm.
How good is it still going to be if I'm buying from, you know, lots of different menus?
I think it depends on where you are in the tiers of the infrastructure. So I don't think there's a really simple answer to that. So let's go back a stage. I guess I've been doing this IT part for 20-something years, and I've only ever met one customer with nothing. So I think the reality of an IT world is everybody owns something. I literally met a customer 2 years ago who had no computers, and they were quite big, and it was a very unusual circumstance. So it was a unique experience. I've never met anybody like that before, and I'll never meet anybody like that again, I think. So everybody has some legacy something. Now, it tends to be an economic discussion then. When did they buy it? What's his book value? You know, what are they actually capable of doing with it financially, as to whether they replace it or integrate it? The difference, I guess, now than 10 years ago is integrating technology is a lot simpler. I mean, so if you go back 10 years ago, standardisation was the big thing, and everyone was trying to do standard APIs and all the rest of it. Stuff works together now in a far simpler and better way. So you lose benefit as potentially you lose commonality. So take it down to a really fundamental level. If you put EMC storage behind a HP adaptive infrastructure, converged infrastructure, so you're using C-class blades, Flex Fabric, all that stuff, but EMC storage, you'd lose the commonality of things like the disks between the servers and the storage. And that might not seem that important, but that means you have two spare parts, cost associated. So I think you really have to break it down into lots of tiers and look at all those bits. It really comes down to the financial, not manipulation isn't the right word, but everybody has something and it's worth something. And they bought it 5 years ago, or they bought it 3 months ago. So it's integrating that is the critical part. You don't lose functionality anymore when it's third-party technology, but you lose the other benefits of the commonality of components, flexibility. But you don't lose functionality.
Does that actually make your salespeople's jobs harder because you can't rely on lock-in? You know, you can't go in and say, you've got HP networking, you've got HP storage, you're going to have to buy an HP server. It's not true anymore.
I don't think it's been true for
five years.
I don't think it's been like that for a while.
People have been shopping around.
Yeah.
And it's either done on cost, or we've always bought from them, and that's where we buy from them. And I think as a salesperson, now the trick is not to necessarily run in and say, okay, I can make it the fastest or the greenest. About where are your pain points? Okay, well, we can provide you with either a server or a suite of solutions and services that can either meet or exceed that problem or attempt to address it.
Mm.
And I think the good salespeople are able to achieve that. The other people are just going on about the cost. But the more you cut down cost, the less it makes good business sense.
Yeah.
you want to be in the door and adding value rather than just a person standing there selling tin.
I think what it means from a sales motion for a company like HP, it means that you need experts in multiple technology areas, which is a challenge, because as a customer you want to buy from one person.
Yeah.
But actually, when you look at the breadth of technology that's available today, one person probably can't cope with a reasonable knowledge across a wide set of technologies. So I think what you find now is, as a company, you end up with people with expertise in core sets of technology. And then you need technical people who can pull that together into something that works for the customer. So the salespeople are more specialised probably than they've ever been before, just because the technology has become so broad.
And you want the salespeople to understand how real life is, to be able to relate to what customers are asking. So it takes me too long to deploy a server, how would you do it? Okay, well, we've got a customer that does that, and it's all that. The technology is kind of secondary to, I want it to work, and you say you can get it to work, so what are you going to offer me?
I think that's a really great segue into the other topic that we saw today was around the, if you like, the systemization of things. So we're talking about the converged applications, as we call it, so that's the Microsoft reference architectures, if you want, where we've done all of the de-risking of it. So actually, if you want to deploy an Exchange server, there's an Exchange server. It's been pre-sized for a particular job, so therefore you can focus on the business of what the Exchange server is delivering, not on getting a whole bunch of people together to deliver an Exchange server. And then there's the database server. So I think what you'll see is more of that type of thing. We've got Cloud System, which is a similar type of approach. We've got Blade System, Matrix. We've got the Converge application, database server, Exchange server, SAP server. So what we're fundamentally doing is saying, your job is to deliver business value off of your infrastructure. Our job is to make it deployable as quickly, as fastly, to value as we can possibly make it for you. So yes, things get more complex, but we're decomplexitized, for want of a better word, by this packaging approach of stuff as well.
Part of that comes back to the customer asking the right questions and knowing what it is they want.
Yeah.
Because I can sit here and say, okay, I want an Exchange solution that's going to support 5,000 users, and I know it will need a server and disk space, but I won't know anything else. And the vendor can come along and say, okay, well, I've got a pre-scoped solution. It's up to me to make the decision that that is what I want, and that's going to suit my business, and I'm not just having a day out.
Yes, indeed. It's a common problem, I think, people knowing what they want. Sometimes choice isn't a good thing.
Do you find that lots of people are picking up the entire package or using their existing model?
UK and Ireland experience again. So this time last year, people started to pick up the package.
So none of the existing hardware was...
We have customers who are using existing hardware, but more and more people are picking up, say, a Matrix solution.
Yeah.
It's got the best starting point.
Yeah, rather than building it again. And I don't know whether that was just comfort or the economy or what was the flip, but up until then, people were really crafting the parts in the UK especially. After that, people have started to buy the packages. It's probably just faster start point. It's probably actually why, but, so it was quite interesting. Really, up until then, people weren't buying the packages from us.
Because when I heard about this morning, I was thinking, it's going to have its own proprietary connections and things like that. And
no.
Work with anything. But yeah, then I've heard that, all these standards you guys support.
The problem is, in technology, you're always compromised by something. We're old and grey, so in technology you always have to put your money on something, because you've always got a lock into something, be it an operating system, a hypervisor, an application. You're locking into something. You've got to choose your risk level and your confidence in being able to integrate things. And I think that's one of the dilemmas that people face. You're sitting here with an iPad 2. It's an iPad 2 because it's got the curved edges. I've seen it on TV, the app store there, it doesn't feel bad, but actually you're locking yourself into an apps portfolio, not the device, but you're becoming dependent on an application. And I think that's what a lot of customers are wrestling with. It's no longer we're locking ourselves into storage, they're locking themselves further up the stack, but you still have to buy into standardise on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, indeed. So, what are we going to hear about tomorrow?
Okay, shall I? So, today was more about what we would call business strategy sessions. So, you've seen, as you said, high level, this is where we're going, these are the future directions. Tomorrow we move into the technical breakouts. So we'll start deep diving on industry standard servers, 3PAR, management, cloud, networking. So we're going down to the next level. We kick off the day, interestingly enough, with a session around data center efficiency. It's not titled that, but it's all about performance optimized data centers, the power of cooling dilemma, the whole movement from generation 4 to generation 7, the economics of that, things like in London, there isn't any more power to be had in London. So if you're going to build a data centre, it can't be in London. So we kick off a whole session around data centre efficiency, and then we flow off into the various sessions where we deep dive on the technologies. So hopefully tomorrow...
Looking forward to it.
We'll be at your level.
And if you look at the audience, if you look at who's here, you've got a mixture of CIOs, but CIOs of medium-sized companies, not CIOs of big companies, and architects, a lot of architectural people. Tomorrow is an architect's day. And that's when they really start to figure out how technology works and how it works together. So that's really, that'll be their day.
And is it the same people as today, or is it a different crowd coming tomorrow?
The guys which are running the exhibition, same guys. So they're going to have an interesting day tomorrow. The customers, obviously from the UK, be the same group of customers. What we found with the other stops is we've had a new influx of people that want to come and see the technical. So we'll probably see more new people coming tomorrow that are only here for the technical pieces. In terms of the delivery guys, there's a different set of guys delivering sessions tomorrow than we're delivering today.
One more question. What's after cloud?
What's up? Oh, my word.
What is it Mark Benioff calls it? Cloud 2?
Cloud 2. Well, we've had...
atmosphere or something.
Hopefully not rain.
Yeah, hopefully not. You know, it's interesting. You know, one of the things about cloud... So we saw virtualization, it must have been about 8 years ago now. Mm. So virtualization came in, which is now, if you like, what we now, industry standard virtualization. I worked on systems 30 years ago that had virtualized memories, virtualized disks. So there was nothing new, but we hit this wave, which became the virtualization wave, which is what we know today. We then had the grid wave. Grid computing was the next thing. We got automation. Now it's cloud. The one thing that's for sure, there will be another wave, whether it be 5 years' time, six, three, don't know what the time frame is, don't know what it's going to be. But I think what I've seen over my 30 years is we've moved from systems that weren't even connected together as networks through to really complex networks and automation. So I think, personally, the next big wave is going to be automation, automated delivery. What we're going to call that in 5 years' time, I have no idea. But the one thing you can guarantee, there will be a next wave. We just don't know what it is, to be honest with you.
I think the difference between then and now, we both go back a long way, is standardisation of technology. So to get, say, an SAP acceleration box 20 years ago was incredibly proprietary. Now it's all built in fairly standard technology, which means the cost is significantly lower. Mm-hmm. So, I think that at a technology level, we're kind of pushing right to where probably everybody wants to be. It's going to be around the softer stuff like automation tools, orchestration tools, services alongside it, apps, catalogues, portals, how people access it, procure it. I think actually at a technology level, we're kind of getting to the lowest common denominator builder blocks at the moment. Mm-hmm. We're all using the same spinny things, we use the same memory, we use the same processor sets from different vendors. That's the big difference for me from 20 years ago. Everybody had their own thing 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So does HP then have to change to become essentially a services company instead of a hardware company?
I think it still has to be both. It still has to be both, because how people, and to me it's, I would call it maturity, but it's not maturity because that doesn't sound like a nice way of talking about a customer. And I would hate for somebody at a shop to talk about my buying maturity. It would really upset me. But people have, you know, people have the ability to do different things. So, and I'll give you my example of the customer who had nothing 2 years ago. Incredible technical department. So integrating stuff and making it work was not the challenge to them. The challenge to them was getting it done quick enough to meet an SLA time scale. Other customers have no comprehension of how to put those things together. And that's why I think the difference now is how you buy stuff. More and more people will buy it as a service because they don't want to invest in the expertise to do it themselves. You're always going to have companies, investment banks, big retailers who will have the expertise to integrate themselves because they believe that's their differentiation. So I do think, you know, that's probably, so you have to be both. You have to, and you have to partner to be both. And I think that's where the hybrid model comes in. Ideally, we want to sell converged infrastructure to you as an individual for your small business, because there's a benefit. We want to sell it to the service provider who you buy your email service from, because there's a benefit. And we want to sell it to the people who want to do both. So actually, we have to play in every part if we're going to do that.
But that's where I see cloud as exciting, because that creates opportunity for all the small and medium businesses that previously couldn't even think about that kind of solution of saying, I want an exchange service, or I want a SAP service, and go out and buy it and not commit to spending thousands of pounds on it. And with that will come the next stream of applications, businesses and revenue for everyone. So what's changed is you may not need as a business to be that technical, but you need to understand what it is you want, what your service level agreements are, and what you are prepared to pay for it. So whether you buy in an email service or say, no, it's core to my business, I will run the email system. And that's what the change is. And it goes back to knowing what you want to buy and making sure you purchase properly.
I think so. The SMB part is interesting as well, because it's the opportunity for small businesses to make their technology available to lots of people.
Yeah.
Because if you have a very smart computer algorithm, at the moment, if you're an individual, that's quite difficult to take to market. If you make that service offering at a reasonable cost, all of a sudden everybody might buy it. So actually, that's another interesting dynamic, is how people buy bits of software and intellectual property in the future will be very different, I think, from how we buy it today.
Yeah, yes indeed. So, any closing thoughts around the table? About what you've learned, what you didn't learn, what you want to learn tomorrow, what you want for your dinner?
Okay, I'll go first. I think the cloud solution looks really interesting. So there's a three-part, so I need to learn up on that. Become a three-part expert, get a hat, and we'll look forward to that.
What does a three-part hat look like, Mark?
The orange.
And I'm hoping that, well, if it's orange, that's cool, but it needs the HP written on it as well, so I understand that.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. I have a question. How is it possible to convince small medium enterprise to join converged infrastructures in terms of community, of blogging, for example, or follow us? Our blogs, our communities, for example, on Facebook, in the EMEA market, especially, let's say, in Europe market, especially in countries like Italy, but also I think France or Germany, where small medium enterprises are usually led by people not so very young.
That's an interesting question. Mm. Yeah, led by people like us, is what it is.
No, okay.
I would talk about the technology and the context and say, I'm a small business, how would converged infrastructure help me? What are the possibilities with it? What do I need to think about in that space? What are my atypical problems? So my atypical problem may be, don't know a lot about technology, don't have a guy with a degree in physics that can fix it. I've got a server and it works. Do I need conversion technology? Well, if you've got one server and two desktops, probably not. But if you've got several servers and you're looking at fancy NAS storage or SAN storage, then maybe you want to be looking at it before you start rolling out cloud work.
And I think also if you're a small businesses, in my experience at the moment, are more likely to go with a cloud-based or an external service offering. then it's down to educating them about how important the infrastructure in that offering is. Because, you know, that is, as I can't remember who said this morning, you know, if you put stuff into somebody else's environment, let's take Sage, for example, accounting software or whatever it is, mm-hmm. a small business is more likely to use that as an external service. But actually, they need to understand the risk they're putting into that. Mm-hmm. And it's important that even if they don't really understand all the technology, they're confident that that company can deliver that service consistently and safely and securely and all those other things. So I think it's about educating them what to look for in a service provision within the technology, as well as educating them about the benefits of the technology if they were to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Yeah. Yes, I have a request for the future. It also has to do with the social media. We are here, we are blogging, we are tweeting, and there's no internet for the people here, so they can't follow what we are doing, mm-hmm. what we are writing. Hopefully there's some people out there in the world following us. But you could do more in the next events to integrate social media. When you enter the door, you should see the hashtags which you have yeah. agreed upon to communicate with each other. That would make the community, the social media mm-hmm. effect a lot bigger than it will be today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this facility has not worked well from that point of view. Yeah. So when we're in Amsterdam, it's great.
It's
here,
no problem there.
Yeah. It's been difficult because of the facility. Oh, but right. I absolutely agree yeah. with you. You know, and it's a strange thing for me to say, and maybe it's my age. You know, so I do use Facebook and I do use Twitter, and I'm experimenting with it, but I haven't gone mainstream with it. And I think, you know, we older people need to learn how to embrace it, and if we embrace it, then when we're working in events like this, it just becomes second nature. Yeah. It certainly isn't second nature to me today, to be honest with you. But, you know, my two teenage sons anymore, they're driving me yeah. to do it differently. You know, so to your point, absolutely agree with you.
Is that one for you, Becca? She's nodding.
Yes, sorry, you can't hear my head rattle.
Yeah, so Vodafone's basically lighting up every time I take
yes.
data.
Yeah, on. Vodafone ES 3G network is having a lot of fun today.
£1 a minute. Don't move that picture.
Yeah.
I think my last bit was, you know, tomorrow, take advantage of the people on the stands. Because as Martin said at the start, the sessions are good, but getting the chance to ask people questions about what really works and how it works and how you would improve it and use it and change it is the benefit of coming to these things.
Okay, good. Well, thank you all very much. Let's hope tomorrow is like today.
Yep.
And now I think there may be a little bit of sunshine left that we might be able to grab before sunset. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.